Another rep jumped up and cried, "That goes for me, too." And then another. And soon pandemonium broke out with everyone talking at the same time. The conference wound up that night with a banquet at which every sales rep promised to return to the field with a new spirit of faith. The year that followed was one of the most profitable in the history of NCR. What happened? A leader had seen what it was his workers needed. In this case, it was a kick in the pants that showed them that success is something you create for yourself, not something others steal from you. Chalmers refired their dedication to their tasks with a vivid example of the success that was available to anyone committed to its pursuit. Although he strongly suspected what ailed his reps, he was wise enough to give them the opportunity to express their concerns. Chalmers knew he needed a frank working relationship with his force. He didn't punish those who had the courage to speak up. He offered every one of them, complainer or not, the same thing, a vision of what he could accomplish. And he started his speech with the reassurance that the company was standing behind its sales force. Chalmers maintained a positive attitude in his relation with his reps, and he influenced them to respond in kind. Teamwork costs so little in time and effort, and it pays huge dividends. One wonders why so many people go out of their way to make life miserable for themselves and others by failing to realize this. Teamwork as a model for business. Years ago, an article by Robert Littell in Reader's Digest described a management system in use by the McCormick Spice Company in Baltimore. This system was revolutionary in its time, though more and more companies have now adopted something similar. McCormick called it the multiple management plan, which is just another way of saying teamwork. When Charles P. McCormick succeeded his uncle as head of the company, he decided to share the responsibilities of running the show with those who could be taught to take it. He picked 17 young people from the company's front office and made them the junior board of directors. They were charged with examining and discussing everything the company did, then presenting their findings to the regular board, as long as they were unanimous in their decision. As Littell wrote, a flood of energy and new ideas was released. Men who had felt themselves to be merely glorified clerks tasted responsibility and clamored for more. Even in the first year and a half, practically all of the juniors' recommendations were adopted. The same policy was applied to the assembly line, where a factory board was formed with the same charge. The three boards met together weekly in a spirit of harmony, everyone seeking ways to improve business and efficiency, to raise McCormick another notch higher. McCormick's personnel policy was truly forward-thinking. Dismissing a worker required the signatures of four supervisors who thought the action was necessary, and anyone threatened with dismissal was allowed to plead his or her case. As Littell noted, McCormick and Company charges itself with an error if it lets a man go until he has been helped to see that his going is just and necessary.